Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we're going to talk about some Disney things. We're going to talk about 25 Disney things.
Or we're going to talk about 10 out of 25 Disney things.
We've completed 25 of the 51 Disney movies. So, like we did back at number 10, we're going to once again count down our current top 10 each of the 25 movies that we've seen so far, from Snow White to the Black Cauldron.
Why did we decide that this was a good idea? It's so difficult, you guys.
There's a lot of good ones.
And I feel bad about every single movie I left out of my 10.
I know. I ended up having to go ahead and make a top 25.
Just for future reference.
Yep, pretty much. So, what was your number 10 movie? 10th best movie so far?
Snow White was my 10th best.
Okay, that's on my list.
That's on your list higher up, I assume.
Yes, it is. It is. But it's such a good movie.
It is such a good movie. And I feel like I didn't appreciate this movie before I watched it again more recently, as much as I should, anyway. Like, I liked Snow White fine, but, like,
yeah,
seeing it again just solidified the fact that that movie is awesome.
My number 10 movie is Sleeping Beauty, which I have
we're gonna differ in that so much.
I have a sneaking suspicion might be higher on your list than it is on mine.
Just a smidge.
But this is a movie that, as a kid, I liked 8 minutes of it.
Yeah,
you know, there were eight really, yeah, there were 8 really cool minutes, and then just such a long build up before that.
And so, girls and forests and crap, just.
But watching again, I really liked I don't want to say the supporting characters, because it really feels to me like the fairies are the main characters of that movie.
Yeah.
It's so much more focused on them and their struggles. And they...
Adorable struggles.
Yes. Well, they assist people, but, you know, they are so much more present in this movie than Aurora is or that Philip is. And it has that Schnapps song, which might be my favorite discovery of these movies that we've been through.
Other than the Akakakaka bird,
the Schnapps song. Because I had totally forgotten that was in there.
Yep. So, number 9, do you want to go first for this one?
All right, number 9, I chose The Fox and the Hound, which I will be the first to admit is at least in part a nostalgia choice.
Yeah.
Because it's one that for as long as I can remember, I've had the VHS and watched it again and again, wear the tape out watching it as a kid. But I really like the relationship between the two characters. I really like it's presented at least, you know, realistically, in a world where, you know, we've watched fairy tales and, you know, adventure stories, and that it ends with, you know, they're not enemies, they're not exactly friends, but time did change them, and that's kind of what happens, and that's a really mature ending for a Disney movie, but
it's not the happily ever after that you expect.
No, but it's not an unhappy ending.
No.
But it's, you know, it's a different move for Disney.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
My number 9 was another dog movie, 101 Dalmatians was my number 9.
Okay.
I really love the animation in this movie. It's got such a nicely sketchy feel that looks really different from most other Disney movies. And I think it's kind of a shame that that's really lost in the merchandising of this movie. Like, when you see the puppies on stuff, they look really cleaned up and very modern, and I really love how you can see almost all of the work that went into this movie from sketch. And I think that's really cool. And the storyline was a little silly, but I loved the characters. I loved Roger, and I loved Anita, and I loved the dogs, and Cruella is just so, so crazy. I just think it was really, really cute and really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And very pretty.
What's your number 8?
My number 8 is Sword in the Stone. And that's definitely a nostalgic choice for me because I adored this movie as a child, and watching it again only furthered my love of this movie. I love the relationship between Merlin and Arthur. It's something that we don't get to see a lot of, the sort of like mentor relationship in Disney movies.
Yeah.
And I loved all of the animal scenes are like my total favorites. This squirrel scene especially is awesome. And I really like Arthurian legend, so.
Yeah. My number 8 was The Jungle Book. I really like, it's such a fun movie. So many parts of it are just, they feel like Mowgli's having fun in the jungle.
Hanging out.
Yeah. And it's a thing where, you know, these things are dangerous. This is a panther and a bear. And, you know, but it's still just kind of like, oh, look. Look at that panther and bear hanging out. And the dance. Yep. And, you know, it's such a, like, antics movie.
Yeah.
Antics of the Jungle. Which was a lot of fun. And I liked Baloo. Baloo was, like, such a decent guy.
It's true.
And I liked his relationship with Bagheera, which is very much a mother-father relationship to Mowgli. And this, you know, stressed-out parent who really wants what's best for their child. And the other's like, hey, you know what? I think they should learn to relax. Enjoy life. And so I liked that between those two characters. My number 7 movie was Cinderella.
Yeah.
And Cinderella's another one that was like, as a kid, I had nothing to do with it.
Get away from me, Cinderella. You are too full of girly things.
But Cinderella was drawn beautifully. It was these, you know, this really sweet story that I've heard a bajillion times before this and before probably the first time I ever saw it. But it was told really well in that they just told the Cinderella story. They didn't, you know, there was no with a twist kind of thing. And it was really nice to see it. And it has, I think for most people, become the standard telling of Cinderella.
Yeah.
I really liked the king. That was, this movie, I think, can be held up as an example of the perfect amount of side character comic relief that any movie should have. The king and the duke did such a good job on that front. They didn't detract from the story at all, just adding to it. I think the stepmother was such a creepy villain.
Yeah.
Because it's so close to the point where, like, you can almost believe this character can exist walking around.
Yeah.
And just she's so terrible to her.
Yeah.
And the carriage is so cool.
The carriage is so cool. I made some GIFs of the transformation sequence not long ago for the Tumblr, and I just watched that little scene. I had to watch it a couple of times to get the right clips, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
My number 7 was Peter Pan. I really love Peter Pan. I love all the characters in Peter Pan. Everybody. There's no one I dislike in that movie. I even like Mr. Darling, and he's just grumpy all the time.
That he is.
I love the, I don't know, I guess whimsy is the right word. I don't like that word, but it's the right word for it. It's just so, there's so much magic and thoughtfulness put into this movie. And, you know, there are, like, problematic parts of it, but there are so many parts that I really, really, really enjoy. Peter is just such a delightful character, and I love Wendy's stern sensibility in contrast with that. And the animation is just yes, gorgeous. The scene where they land on the clock is one of my favorite scenes ever. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I have Peter Pan higher up.
I figured you would.
It's a big deal for me.
Cinderella was my number six, actually. So we're pretty close there.
Yeah.
I don't think any of our movies will be exact matches at this point. But yeah, Cinderella was my number six. I really love, again, how magical this movie is. I love the bibbidi-bobbidi-boo sequence is just gorgeous and just so perfect. Like, there's not a detail wrong in that entire scene. I actually really enjoyed the mice a lot more than I thought I would, because their squeaky little voices are kind of annoying, but they're so endearing, and clearly Cinderella is such a kind-hearted, lovely person, and that these, you know, like, rodents care about her so, so much. And I love the stepsisters. I think they're hilarious. And yeah, Lady Tremaine seems legitimately scary. In the same way that, like, the rescuers, like, seems like a legitimate scary situation, Cinderella is very much like that as well. You know, like, this really happens to people. And that's really strikes me as, really good villain development, that it feels so realistic.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's romantic and girly and pretty. So This Is Love is one of my favorite Disney songs. It's just so, so pretty.
It is all of that.
And perfect and awesome. I love Cinderella.
My number six is The Aristocats.
We're like right in there. The Aristocats is my number five.
The Aristocats is, I really like the whole cat family. I really like the relationship that the two parent cats have. I really like how, what a decent person Thomas O'Malley is. Like, he gets this completely unexpected load dropped in his lap, and he's so able to roll with the punches and, you know, never backs down. I really like the kids. I really like just how much they come together as a unit to, to journey back home. I really like the whole side story that is almost completely unnecessary, yet at the same time might be the best part of the movie, with Napoleon Lafayette.
They're so funny. I love them.
It's crazy entertainment over there. And I love how much these characters seem to care for each other and have genuine affection. So, my number five is Snow White.
That's pretty high up there, Joel.
Snow White completely took me off guard as to how good it was.
Yeah.
It was a movie that, you know, when I proposed this idea of going through all of 50, you know, one of the first downsides I thought of was, well, we'll have to start with Snow White. And it's, you know, it's just something that, watching it now, I can believe that this movie would start the franchise and the entertainment empire that is Disney.
Yeah.
I love the animation. It's better than I ever thought could be possible in that day and age. I really love the dwarfs. It's such an iconic thing to those dwarfs are now, because anybody thinking of the dwarfs now gives them those personalities and those names.
Yeah.
I really liked Snow White. I just love the character design. I love the forest sequence.
That's really pretty, yeah.
The queen, like, the transformation, the transformation sequence itself was great, but just the physical differences between her as Beauty and her as the old witch were amazing. Everything about this movie, it's taken me completely off guard as to what a great movie it is.
I agree. But I knew that originally, so that's why it's not as high up. I've always liked Snow White, so. Yes. Five. Are we at five? Five.
Yes, we're at five.
Well, Aristocats is five for me, as I mentioned. Yes. I have loved this movie for a very long time. And it was one of my favorites as a kid. And a little while ago, a couple years ago, when we went, I went to Disney World, and I happened upon Marie at Epcot, and I was so excited still. Like, I was like 20, 21, and I was still really excited to see Marie. I love the kittens. They feel so much like children. They sound like children. They act exactly like I would think a group of kids would act, which I love. How true they are to childhood. I love the contrast between Duchess and Thomas O'Malley. I love how, like, she's such a proper lady and he's just kind of conniving, but still so good-hearted.
Yes.
And I love all the human characters in this movie, too. I love Madame. She, like, so clearly cares for these cats, but not in, like, a creepy old lady, cat lady sort of way.
In an eccentric old cat lady sort of way.
I love the music in this movie. I love how jazzy and upbeat it is. And just really, really fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And number four is Robin Hood for me. This is another movie I really enjoyed as a kid. And it's still by far one of my favorite retellings of Robin Hood, because it's really respectful to the original stories while still being silly and fun and really, like, relatable. The characters seem so just like people. Like, sometimes they're a little bit dumb and sometimes they're a little bit crazy, but the characters are so believable while being, like, you know, chickens and foxes and stuff. I love Robin Hood, and I love Little John and how, like, chill he is. Like, Robin, calm down all the time. And the relationship between Maid Marian and Lady Cluck is one of my favorites, because it's not super common to see girls being friends in movies, especially in kids' movies, and I think it's so cute, the relationship they have with each other. And, I don't know. It's just adorable.
Yes.
And there's like happy little animals in the forest.
It's animals. Yay.
Prince John is really funny, too.
Yeah.
I think he's a really funny villain.
My number four is 101 Dalmatians. This will be, you know, anytime the conversation of the most underrated Disney movie, this will always be my choice. I think this movie is so funny.
It is really funny.
And there's this amazing ability to tell this story from the dogs and still make all of the human characters such great characters.
Yeah.
The Jasper and Horace are so entertaining. Cruella is crazy pants crazy.
She's so crazy.
Roger is so entertaining in his study and playing his instruments. And it would be such an entertaining upstairs neighbor. I love the maid. And
nurse, yeah.
Just there's so many sequences that stand out so strongly from my childhood. The Midnight Bark, the Twilight Bark sequence, just going through all the dogs in London barking, the canine crunchies stuff. It's still stuff that, like, sticks with me all these years later. I really love Pongo and Pernita, and just the whole adventure trek story that they go on. It's so endearing to me. My number three is Fantasia. Fantasia is kind of mind-blowing. Like, and it's one that when we talked about it, we're talking about how it almost shouldn't work, because it's a cartoon with classical music, which, you know, most little kids hate.
Yep.
And there's no talking in it, which, you know, kids hate. There's, you know, the first several of the sequences don't tell coherent stories.
Yep.
Many of them don't have coherent shapes. They're just kind of like colors floating around. Which, by all accounts, shouldn't work. And it's so interesting and so beautiful. And so many of the sequences are just, I was transfixed. I love the Olympus sequence still so much. That's, you know, I think most people's first introduction to those stories, I know it was mine, it was so entertaining. And the same with dinosaurs, is, and to have both of those sequences in the same movie, with there's such different storytelling, such different animation, such different music, and to have both of these tell such compelling stories with no talking, with just music and animation. And to top it all off, the whole Night on Bald Mountain segment at the end was my favorite as a kid, and still is my favorite to this day. It was terrifying in all the ways that were awesome for a five-year-old boy. Is this huge, scary demon monster and lots of terror. And it ends, you know, in this such, like, to end on this terror sequence and to still, like, go into such a sweet, hopeful visual ending. It's just, it's amazing. And I'm so glad that it has, you know, throughout the years has gotten to the point of recognition and respectability that such an ambitious project really needed.
Yeah. Number three for me was Alice in Wonderland. It's a story that I love, and a book that I love, and a movie that I love. And everything about that movie is so colorful and interesting, and the characters are all really funny and ridiculous, like just as ridiculous as they should be. And I think it was difficult to adapt, and I'm always, every time I watch it, I'm always so happy with what they included and how they put it together, because it's not an easy story to tell.
No, as we've seen.
I love Alice as a character because she contrasts her world so sharply. She tries to be so reasonable, and she thinks that this is all she wants in life is, you know, silly talking animals and stuff, and she sees how quickly this can go very, very badly. I love the Queen of Hearts as a villain. I think she's just so, so ridiculous. And I just, I don't know, something about the way this movie is animated and just the sheer amount of color, at the very least, is just so, so awesome. And the contrast between the happy, silly moments and the really, really serious moments, that it just works so well as a story, and it's one of my all-time favorites. My number two is actually Fantasia. You were totally right. Like, there's no reason this should work as well as it does. Like, you know, like, watching silent films is not that enjoyable for me. So why this is so, like, prolifically excellent to watch, I can't even explain. The animation is incredible. The sheer volume of animation and the variance in styles is crazy. And how well they all mesh together is really, really impressive. The Nutcracker Suite and the Mount Olympus sequence are probably my favorites, because they're so rich and beautiful, and so interesting without even like really having that much of a storyline. Like, basically what happens in the Mount Olympus sequence is there's some centaurs and they get some dude centaurs and then it rains. All that happens, really. Like, there's some other little things with Bacchus and stuff, but that's it. So why that's so awesome, I can't explain. And I am also really appreciative that this has gotten the recognition that it deserves. And I think it's the sort of movie that a lot of people don't go back and watch in adulthood, because it's not as nostalgic for them, but I think it's one of those movies that, like, you need to watch again, because it's so, so worth it.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. My number two is Peter Pan. And Peter Pan is, to me, the, you know, a lot of Disney and, you know, kind of what Disney stands for is, you know, magic and fairy tale. And that's all captured with these fairy tale princess stories, which Disney is known for. And for me, the Disney magic was Peter Pan and Neverland. And that was my fantastical world that was such a big part of my childhood. I just loved how much it feels like being a kid watching that movie. It's everything that was awesome as a kid. It's flying and pirates and, you know, Indians and awesome places to swim, and there's sword fighting and just so much of what I wanted and what I think every kid, you know, dreams about when they're swinging sticks in the woods is all encompassed in this movie. And I think it does such a good job of, you know, visualizing this fantastical, magical place for boys, or to me at least, for, you know, little boys to dream about and fantasize about. And it's, you know, all the characters are so great. The, even, you know, Captain Hook, who is the villain, is able to be this, you know, threatening villain and amazingly hysterical simultaneously. The boys, the John and Michael, who are so proper and in charge and at the same time completely lost in this new world, are great. Yeah, Mr. Darling and Mrs. Darling's relationship is in the movie for the shortest amount of time, and yet is such a perfect relationship between these two, and how high-strung and intense he is, and she's always able to stand by him and be so calm. So everything about this movie I completely adore. And my number one is Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Robin Hood is so good. And these are, we talked about it back at the very beginning. You know, if we did this list tomorrow, these top two might switch.
Yeah.
It's just a thing where, but Robin Hood's the one I've watched more recently, I guess. So, yeah, everything you said about Robin Hood, about it being such a good adaptation of the source material, it, you know, Robin was everything that I wished I could be as a kid. He's such a decent guy. There's
he is. He's pretty much too nice.
There's no character flaw on this guy. He is charming and he's polite and he's a skilled swordsman and an even better archer. He's completely faithful to his childhood sweetheart for forever, 100% in love with her as much today as he was the day that they met. There's just all of the fight sequences, especially the one at the archery contest, was so much fun. That was my favorite single sequence as a kid. I could watch just that one fight, and the madcap, and there's pies being thrown, and there's, you know, this crazy circus train running around throughout the whole thing, and then there's a football sequence. I love Little John. I think he's such a great character foil for Robin, and at the same time still works as an agreeable sidekick. He's very entertaining in his proper clothes. I love that whole sequence. I love Friar Tuck. Friar Tuck's so decent. I love the rooster narrator. Just every single character in this movie manages to be my favorite character all at the same time. I couldn't possibly pick. So,
my number one was Sleeping Beauty. Not surprising. Joel's making this face and we're like, yeah, yeah.
We're supposed to do this 10 to 1 for the ending to be a big shocker. And I don't think it ever will be.
The middle ones are more interesting than the top ones. I really adore this movie. It's, first of all, just stunningly beautiful. Every time I watch it, I am so surprised by how much detail they pack into this movie and how aesthetically different it is from most other Disney movies. It's got such interesting kind of angular lines to it, and the background paintings are just gorgeous, and the characters are so, so well animated. I love Philip and Aurora. I think they're a really romantic, lovely couple. I love Philip's relationship with his horse, Samson. I love Samson. Poor Samson. I love the three fairies. They're so well-intentioned and bumbling and silly, and they care so much about this girl and just don't think their decisions through very much. And I love the relationship between the kings and their drunken escapades. Are really funny. I love the magic sequences in this movie, especially the color-changing dress scene is really funny, and the scene where Philip is fighting the dragon and they keep turning stuff into flowers and stuff, I think is really, really lovely. Maleficent as a villain is amazing. She scared me to death as a child. I hated watching Sleeping Beauty when I was very young because Maleficent scared me so bad. Even just listening to that music, the Puss in Boots overture from Tchaikovsky is pretty much terrifying to me still. And I really love it as a whole. It's a perfect example of Disney doing a fairy tale right. And it's just beautiful. It's just freakishly lovely, basically.
It was very nice. So... those are our current top tens.
These will change.
We will return to this after we've watched 25 more movies and see.
That'll be so hard.
See if anything else makes the cut. So join us for that next time.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Ooh.